You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition. Shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry. The home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen.
Good morning. Welcome back to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I'm your host, Carol Morgan, and I'd like to recognize our show sponsor, Denham Marketing. Celebrating 25 years in 2024, Denham Marketing works to make your marketing a comfortable fit. So give us a call when you need original content for public relations, social media, blogging, email marketing, marketing campaigns, and more. Well, with so few homes for sale today and home affordability a big concern, Build to Rent has helped to fill that gap. Of course, many of today's renters are renters by choice. So joining me in studio today is who I'm going to call the Atlanta King of Build to Rent, because he really got this started and made a name for it, Jay Bice, who's president of Resi Built Homes. So Jay, take a quick minute and tell us about yourself and your background.
Thanks, Carol. I enjoy being with you once again. I've had a varied background over my 30-year career. I've been in banking, left banking to be a land developer before the Great Recession, and then went into private equity, and we started a REIT called Colony American Homes, which really formed the floor of the falling prices in the housing market, right? Colony and several other large private equity funds started buying used homes or older homes, renovating them up to today's standards, which was really needed back in 2012, and then moving them back into the rental market so people could live in them. That was really great. And then in 2015, 2016, the distressed inventory started to go down dramatically, and we started looking at other ways to continue to grow these companies, and Build to Rent was the obvious choice. This is very similar to the apartment market, where originally it was institutional buyers aggregating existing apartments. Then they looked around and said, "Hey, you know what? We can actually build new apartments and give people even more of what they want." Rather than, just an older home that's been renovated. So we started Resi Built in 2018 as a general contractor home builder to serve that market itself. And what we found is the initial people that came to look at our homes were interested in buying a home. And this was when rates were, as low as they've ever been. But then when given the option of renting the home rather than buying it, 92% of them actually rented. And, we realized that the market was even bigger, the demand was even bigger than we thought. It just had never been offered to people before. So since 2018, we've built just about 2,000 homes. We're in five cities, Atlanta, Charlotte, Greenville, Orlando, and Tampa. This year alone, we should do 1,500 homes.
Wow.
And, we should do another 2,000 next year. And those are all, communities that we've been working on now for several years. So obviously the market has changed a lot, but what we're seeing is this trend continues.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk a little bit about the why of that. I mean, why do you think people want to rent versus buy? I mean, I know, what I hear, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Yeah. So, when we started, we considered this the answer for millennials to move from apartments into more traditional homes. And we build homes in a traditional way, right? They're 3 and 4 bedroom homes, 2-car garage. They look exactly like for sale homes. We really consider it a lot like the car business. We're just giving people a different way to access the homes, much like leasing a car gives people a different way to access the car rather than just buying it. So what we've found is instead of just millennials, the other half of our demand are baby boomers that, their kids have left the house. And, they're still young. They're in their 50s. They don't want a 55 and older community. Carol, I don't know how old you are, but I'm getting pretty close to 55. And I don't want to live in a 55 and older community.
I am in denial. I have been 36 for a long time, Jay, and I'm going to just continue to say that. So
exactly. A good friend of mine, an economist, actually shows a picture of what 55 used to look and feel like in the 80s. And it's a picture of Wilford Brimley from Cocoon, if you remember that movie. And, you know, 55 today looks like Tom Cruise.
Right.
Right. It's just
only
different.
He's 60 now.
I know.
So,
right.
He's 60. Looking good.
He's doing Mission Impossible. So what we're seeing is, you know, these folks, they were selling their homes, right, and cashing out. And rather than burdening themselves with a big mortgage and a yard maintenance and home maintenance and everything else, they've realized, like, you know, this is just a place to live. And we want to travel more. We want to experience life more. And so that's what we're seeing. Those are our two big cohorts of renters.
Well, it's not surprising, is it? So, you know, talk a little bit about the advantages of the build-to-rent model. I think you've just touched on all the ones for the residents or the renters, but what about for investors? You know, what are the advantages for them?
Well, you know, for investors, it is a stream of cash flow, a lot like multifamily. You know, we obviously you have flexibility in the way that we do it because we build them just like traditional homes. So converting that to for sale later is very easy to do. You know, people look at what we do and they say, well, my gosh, I don't want a rental community. I hope that once they see our communities, you know, that starts to change. But there is a bias against renters and against rental communities. And, you know, I'll say it, most people immediately think mobile homes.
Right.
Right. But that's just not what it is today. And, you know, the truth is homes have about 100-year lifespan. And through that 100-year lifespan, they could have, you know, 10 to 15 owners, depending on obviously how many times they buy and sell. So any home in any community will go through periods of being a rental and being owner occupied and back and forth. These communities are more likely to stay rental and maintained longer term as a unit, which we think is a better way for the community to look and feel good for a longer amount of time, but it's not prevented from going back and being put into the for sale market as well, which we think actually you know, gives the investor more flexibility longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, people who don't want that rental home next door, they're thinking about, you know, that one rental home that, you know, is not taken care of. And the reality is, you know, when you've got an entire single family community of rental homes, you know, you've got to look your best always because they've only signed a 1-year lease. You want them to sign it again next year. If you're not taking care of it, it's, you know, it's like you've got to sell the home every year, right?
Absolutely.
So,
correct.
You know, and then you've also got to have those amenities that appeal to renters. You know, what are you seeing that they want right now as far as amenities?
So it's a question we get a lot. And the way that we look at it is almost identical to for sale. So smaller communities will go and do smaller neighborhoods that are 40 or 50 lots. And we'll do those in areas where they're well located. And so for those, we actually can't really do like a pool or a clubhouse. Just can't afford to, right? Because you've got to spread that cost among those homes. So they get more like passive communities like dog parks and walking trails. But what we try to do is make sure that they are located in places that are close to retail shopping and close to work and things like that. So that's really the amenity, is they're being able to live closer to where they work or live or play.
Yeah, nobody really wants to get in their car and have to drive after work. And if they do have to drive after work, they want it to be super fast, right?
Or at least to a home that they want to live in, right?
Exactly, exactly.
The other side to that, you know, we have a couple of communities that are above more than 300 lots.
Mm-hmm.
So those are big. And just like you said, Carol, you know, we have to convince people to stay there long term. So for those, you know, we've got really resort style amenities. So 5,000 square foot clubhouse with a gym and a resort style pool and pickleball courts. And we can program activities in those communities as well, so that we're really fostering a true neighborhood feel for that community. We think that's really important. And the other really important thing, Carol, a lot of people don't want renters around them because they say they're not invested in the community, right?
Yep.
Our average tenant stays for 4 years. An average person buying a home in the same price point stays for 4 years.
Wow. That's an interesting stat.
Yeah. So it's really, this is so close to just an alternative way for people to use those homes, just like I was speaking about the car industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, interest rates have been down. Interest rates have been up. They've been down. It looks like they're headed up again. You know, how has your business been, changed or been affected by these increases in interest rates?
So I can answer that in two different ways. It has actually been a bit of a tailwind or good for us, in that leasing has continued to be fantastic. The cost of construction has gone down for us. So long-term, being a long-term owner, that's very important. You know, so the stuff that we already own is performing better than we even expected. Obviously, a lot of that improvement is getting eaten up in higher financing costs. So it's not really, it's not a overall net positive, but at least it's not a negative.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a wash, huh?
It really is kind of a wash.
That's good. Yeah.
The negative is when we're looking at new communities, very difficult to make the numbers work right now. So you've got higher costs, and the way that we look at communities is we want to make sure that the rents work today. We're not assuming that, we're going to get stratospheric type rents in 2 or 3 years, which is really when we're going to bring the community to market. And so the higher cost of carry through that period and the tentative nature of equity partners and really big money really has us on the sideline, to be frank. I think in 2022, we purchased somewhere around 20 communities. In 2023, I think we purchased 4 or 5. And I would even say the latter part of 2023, we bought 0. So
that's about a 75% decrease, right?
And if you look at the last part, it's 100% decrease.
Right.
So, we're having to be creative on, how do we continue this company? How do we make sure that our employees stay employed? Mm-hmm. And what it's really building is there's going to be a further lack of inventory, especially in the build-to-rent space, in 2 to 3 years. So that's almost, it's not going to be helping our inventory problem in 2 to 3 years at all. So what we're doing, we're having to pivot, and we're doing more for sale product. So we were fortunate in our methodology in that we really build very nice, high quality, entry level and first time move up homes. So high 300s for townhomes, kind of high 400s for detached homes. So we're able to make that pivot without really switching our product. And we're selling more homes, to home buyers.
Yeah.
The problem with that is a really good selling community is selling at 3 or 4 houses a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're slowing our pace because we are actually accustomed to building 10 to 12 houses a month. So again,
it's all very interesting. Yeah.
This talks about like the inventory problem that we already have. We're having to slow down how much we can provide inventory.
Right.
And every single build-to-rent builder out there is facing the exact same problem. So if they're switching to for sale, they're slowing it down. And obviously, they're having to do the same thing that the home builders are doing. And we're doing as well as, buying down the rates and incenting people to go in. The margins are still fine, but it's a slower pace.
I was going to say, has it slowed down because buyers are on the fence about the rates?
There are only so many buyers that you can get through. The rules, especially when you're looking at lenders, they don't, and this is wise, by the way, they don't want you to go out there and build, you know, 30 spec homes.
Right.
Costs a lot of money. The interest really eats you up. And so instead of doing that, you'll build five and then hope they sell.
Right. And then once they sell, they'll let you start five more. So it's really more a function of liquidity and what the lenders are willing to lend.
Absolutely correct.
Interesting. Well, talk some about your single family for sale communities. Where are they? Or do you have any in Atlanta area? You know, what can we look forward to?
We do. We do. We've got right now we've got one going vertical. And so we'll start delivering homes there, actually townhomes in the city of Decatur, Carbons Road and 316. And then we've got two other communities in development, one in Loganville. Nobody says, where's Loganville anymore?
Everyone no, they don't.
Loganville is now. And then one in an up-and-coming community of Bethlehem.
Okay.
On 316, which is where the big commercial node is sort of between Athens and Atlanta.
I will tell you what, that whole Athens area is exploding.
It is. Athens and Winder are really exploding now. And, and we're looking at more deals in that corridor. We're looking at more deals sort of in the northwest part of Atlanta as well.
Yeah.
We've got a couple that we're working on in Douglasville. So, you know, we're aiming to keep the same number of communities that we have in Atlanta, which is, you know, varies between 10 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a lot of work to do. A lot of for sale stuff's going to be happening for us in late 2025, early 26.
Well, and that's super exciting for people who are in the market, especially if you can keep those prices down and keep homes affordable, because that's been just, you know, such a challenge for everyone. So
it really is. And, you know, I'm actually I'm talking to a professor at UGA's housing department and I'm trying to work with him on getting a study as to what really drives housing cost. Because there are really big misconceptions. And, you know, I hate to, I'll use this as an opportunity to say one of the biggest impediments to affordable housing is government.
Yep. Yet they want affordable housing. So
yeah, they don't mean it.
Yeah.
They don't mean it. And it's not just local government, it's state government too.
Yeah.
You know, the way the laws are written in this state, you know, the state clearly has the ability to stop some of the insanity that's going on at the local level. They're just choosing not to.
Not to. Right.
And, you know, if the governor wants to continue to have job growth, like he's done such a good job of you know, getting in the state,
and,
you know, some changes are going to have to be made so that houses can be affordable.
Absolutely. You are preaching to the choir, but keep saying it because I think you can make a difference. So that's awesome.
Crafting the perfect marketing strategy is like constructing the perfect pair of jeans. You need all the right components and expertise. Unlike trying on a dressing room full of jeans, Denim Marketing makes the process painless and easy. Denim Marketing is the market leader in creating quality, original content for home builders, developers, remodelers, and others in the industry. Call 770-383-3360 or email Carol at denimmarketing.com to find out how Denim Marketing can be a comfortable fit for your social media, public relations, marketing campaigns, email marketing, blogs, and other marketing needs.
Well, so talk a little bit about ResiBuilt's plans to grow or evolve in the next kind of 5 to 10 years. It kind of sounds like right now you're going maybe, you know, 75, 25 build to rent single family. Where do you see that going and morphing and, you know, where are we all going?
Well, you know, let me talk about it in another way.
Okay.
It's very market or it's very dependent on the economy. To me, there are only two ways that the economy can go. If rates come down, then build to rent will once again be spurred. And that's what we would prefer to focus on.
Right.
That really is our bread and butter. We prefer to own homes longer and really be in partnership with, you know, the residents that we have. Mm-hmm. And we like that. And I think, you know, I think there's a good likelihood that that will happen. Right. So our hope is, you know, by the end of this year, early next year, we can start to acquire more build to rent communities that will deliver in 2026. If that doesn't happen, then the percentage of for sale will be much higher.
Right.
However, the other school of thought is rates are going to stay higher for longer. And I think we've all heard this by now. You know, if rates stay higher for longer, you're going to have a different type of inflation problem.
Right.
Right now, it costs about $1,000 more per month for someone to own a home rather than what we charge to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if those rates stay high, then free markets will fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that rents are going to go up to fill that gap. Honestly, I don't think that's good for the economy.
It's not. Yep.
and I certainly don't think it's good for, you know, the average worker making under, you know, $150,000.
Right.
By the way, our average tenant makes about $120,000.
Right.
For the family. So, like, you know. And it's really bad for the people that make, you know, 60 or 70 or under.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my belief is that rates will come down because of that problem.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of the, what do they say? Six one way, half dozen the other. You know, the law of supply and demand is in play. And they who control our federal rates don't seem to understand that we only have so many homes, and that if you push interest rates up, it doesn't cause the price to come down.
Well, I will say this, to their credit, I think this might be the first time that that's ever happened. Right?
Right.
I certainly didn't predict this. I figured there would be some price decline in home values. I didn't think we were going to fall off a cliff like 2008, but what we found, the other oddity is we've never had basically 0% interest rates.
Right.
So this is, we're writing new chapters in economic books right now.
Yeah.
If you spend a decade with rates at you know, long-term interest rates at 3%, and you push them to 7 or 8, no one wants to move.
Nobody wants to move. Yeah, you got that lock-in effect, right?
It's the lock-in effect.
But it's interesting. You know, those 3% rates were like free money. So there were so many people who got off the fence to buy. I mean, we finally got the millennials out of their parents' basements, right?
Yep.
And into their own homes, or, you know, into something they could rent. So we finally have all of that movement, but it hasn't slowed down. So, you know, you still got so many more people who would like to move that just, you know, feel stuck.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, supply and demand, right?
Yep.
Entry-level housing, and the most conservative estimate, were 2 million houses under supply. And that's the most conservative estimate.
A lot of houses.
A lot of houses. It's something that cannot be touched for many years.
Right.
Especially with the regulations that are, you know, in place today. So, you know, the reality is it's going to be very difficult for housing prices or shelter values in general, right? Housing prices and rent to go negative anytime soon.
Right. So I guess you're not a believer that we're going to have a silver tsunami either.
You know, I'm not. Look, how long have we been talking about this, Carol?
For a long time. It hasn't happened yet.
No, I mean, you know, when I was developing communities in 2002, we were talking about a silver tsunami. And you know, part of the reason is that it hasn't happened yet is because people are more fit and living longer, right?
Yep.
So that's bought us at least a decade. And Yeah, now you've got the lock-in effect. So, you know, having that silver tsunami definitely cannot happen until rates come back down. That said, you know, we do a lot of work in Florida, mm-hmm. and the housing market in Florida is something absurd. I will not get this totally correct, so don't quote me on this, but I believe it's somewhere around 55% of people are buying in Florida all cash. No loan, right? So
that tells you that they have sold something somewhere and are moving to Florida.
That's correct. Yeah. A lot of it's coming from New York, New Jersey, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, Michigan. Yeah. And that's why that market has held up, you know, even better than some of the other markets like Atlanta. So,
you know, which is really phenomenal that it's held up that well, because with the storms and all the other problems they've had down there, you know, between flood insurance and home insurance, and some places it's almost impossible to get insurance. And, yeah. you know, and that's a whole nother, we could have a whole nother conversation on that.
We could. That's more depressing. Let's do that over the drink, Carol.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what else is coming up? Anything else you want to share?
You know, I'll share one more thing. From the rental side, Atlanta has really, the Atlanta MSA has really had a tough time dealing with squatters. Hmm. If you don't know what squatters are, that is simply somebody moving in the house with, you know, without permission.
Right.
Also called trespassers. Mm-hmm. This society likes to rename things, you know, to their convenience, but it's become a huge problem. And the legislature is working on some language to help, you know, codify mm-hmm. that, you know, a squatter is a trespasser, you know, and just should be escorted out. The other thing that we've seen a lot of is fraud.
Right. Oh, gosh. Yes.
It really spiked last year. I think it's gotten a lot better, but it was organized fraud. There were a lot of people listing houses that they didn't own, taking security deposits from people that were looking for a no credit check.
Yep.
Right. Which, you know, to be honest, that's not something that they could get with us, right?
Right.
We do credit checks and we do background checks on everyone. So, you know, these people were preying on people mm-hmm. that weren't going to be able to lease, you know, homes anyway.
Right.
And then it takes 9 months to 18 months to get them evicted. And that really hurts investors and it hurts communities because these are people that normally would not be living in communities, you know, like this. So it gives us a bad name, but it's really not us, but gives property owners a bad
property
name.
Property owners, yeah.
And by the way, property owners, let's think about this too, because a lot of talk has been said over the years about big corporations,
yeah,
or out of state corporations, or Wall Street buying Main Street. That's a good
right.
one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Is Wall Street buying Main? I wrote a blog about that.
That's my favorite. Well, let me tell you a couple things about that. So it cost us, you know, $30 to $50 million to put a community on the ground, whether it's for sale or build to rent. It's still the same $30 to $50 million.
Right.
I don't know about you, Carol, but there's only a couple places where that comes from.
Right.
Wall Street's one of them. So mm-hmm. you want to chase Wall Street out, then Main Street starts to look like, you know, the Main Street that you don't want it to look like.
Right.
So, yes, there is institutional money that makes all of this happen. And we need it. We can't chase Wall Street out of investing in real estate. That would be disastrous to the entire system. Right.
Right.
But we're easy targets. And so, you know, people push on that. And, you know, the reality is that we are aligned in the best interest of the average person. Mm-hmm. Right. Our investors are teachers, pension funds and things like that. So we're helping Main Street. And
right.
then at the same time, we are helping provide, you know, the necessary inventory for people to live in, grow families, and be in good communities, right? And so the level of politics that played, especially down at the local level, is really sad to see. You know, the people that are making these big investments want the best for the community, and we're not piggy banks. And so if it gets crazy enough, then it'll look like New Jersey. No disrespect to New Jersey, but I don't want Georgia looking like, you know, a town that was built in the 1950s in New Jersey.
Right. It's interesting perspective, and I think people just don't understand it, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the bottom line is whether it's a for sale community or a build for rent community, it's got big money behind it from someone.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way to do it. It's too expensive to do it otherwise. So,
yes.
Yeah. Very good
point. You know, like, don't know who you bought your home from, but, you know, I think the largest home builder in Atlanta is D.R. Horton, right? I think you'll probably have the numbers better than me, but they build somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 homes a year in Atlanta. Is that about
probably
right?
That's probably about right.
So that's Wall Street.
Yep. It's absolutely
listed on Wall Street.
They are listed on Wall Street. Absolutely.
So you want to chase them out, you have 4,000 to 5,000 homes less.
Yeah, exactly. It makes the problem even worse.
It does. Yeah.
So, well, lots of good food for thought today. I'm looking forward to following up with you in a, you know, again, later this year, early next year, just to kind of see where your business has gone and how much more or less single family you're doing and what's new on the Built for Rent horizon.
Well, hey, I know Earth Day is coming up.
Yes, it is.
Right. So I will tell you this. We are doing something pretty cool for Earth Day this year.
What are you doing?
We are planting 50,000 trees.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got 17 total communities across our footprint in like that are active.
Yeah.
And we're taking, you know, really every square foot that isn't, you know, being used for, you know, sports fields and active activities. And we're going in, we're planting trees.
That is phenomenal.
And so, yeah, we're gonna, you know, obviously they're not gigantic trees, but they
but
turn
trees.
Into gigantic trees, right?
Then you just need to get somebody to water them for the next year.
Absolutely. No, it does take some maintenance, but we're really excited, and it's a way for us to give back and you know, and show that we have to do a lot of earth work in these communities, right? Unfortunately, that's just the reality on how you have to develop these days.
Yep.
But this is going to be, you know, just a part of how we give back for the long term. And, you know, in 10 and 20 and 100 years, those 50,000 trees are going to be giving us oxygen and clean air.
Yep.
We're really excited about it.
I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to hear more. So send me more information on that. I'd like to run something on that on Atlanta Real Estate Forum. So,
we'll do.
Happy Earth Day. Well, with that, how can listeners get more information on you and Resi Built Homes?
Sure. Yeah. ResiBuilt.com. That's built with a T. Some people get that wrong. But yeah, that basically gives you everything you need to know about us. You can follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook as well, all the standard places. And we'll give you some more information to put it out on the forum as well.
Perfect. Well, with that, it's a wrap of this week's Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I want to thank Jay Bice, president of ResiBuilt, for joining me in studio today. On behalf of our show sponsor, Denim Marketing, I'm your host, Carol Morgan. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating and review. If you want to make sure to never miss one of our podcasts, then go to Stitcher, Spotify, or iTunes and sign up for notifications and downloads. Many of our episodes are also on YouTube, so you can go to YouTube and click on the notification bell to make sure that you're notified when there's a new episode. If you'd like to be on the show, reach out to me, carol@denimmarketing.com, and let me know what you'd like to talk about. With that, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you right here again next week.
Today's episode was made possible by Denim Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denim Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denim Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size, they will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.